Man, it's great to sing together, amen. It's great to just be together, worship together on this 4th of July. Today's message is going to be something a little different than I normally do. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Find there, we're going to be verses 1 to 10. Just a couple quick announcements. Such a beautiful weekend the Lord's given us to kind of get together. Well, if you went to Waldron last night, I thought there was a revival that hit Waldron or something. It was packed. Oh my goodness, I couldn't even find a place to park. And so a lot of people are getting together just to rejoice and to celebrate. It's a great time to do that in our country. Obviously, we have communion today, so we're going to take communion at the end of the service today, so prepare your heart throughout this time of worship, or if you're at home, join us later during our time of communion. Get your bread available, get your cup ready. Also, next Sunday, we're going to be sending off our youth to work camp, and so next Sunday, they're going to join us for worship. They're going to pray over them and send them out. And so looking forward to that. I just want to thank everybody for their giving. We had $2,400 come in just 2 weeks just to help them on their way and some new kids that are going. So just thank you so much for that. So I hope you're there in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. So today I'm just going to talk about kind of where we're at in our country, what may be next that we can look forward to or anticipate. And then how should we live in times like this? How should we live in times like this compared to what's happened in the past? And so how can we gauge things? How can we live in times like we're living in? Because we see things kind of, we're in recovery, kind of in this recovery mode, right? And so the churches are in recovery. The churches are starting to open back up, starting to come, feel more comfortable. And so through this whole process, churches have been recovering, right? People have been recovering. Well, it's because a nation is in recovery, right? And so we're going through this thing this whole year and a half, and it's like, man, it seems like it doesn't even seem like a year and a half has already gone by, but it already has. And so we're living in some interesting times, and so, but we're recovering from this. And so we're going to talk about all these things today. I want us to focus on Luke 7, verses 1 to 10. Verses should be up on your screen if you want to follow along. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all this, his first sermon there, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master highly valued, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent one of the elders to the Jews and asked him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. Now notice what they say here. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has helped build our synagogue. Then notice it says, so Jesus went with him. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one to go and he goes, that one to come and he comes, and I say to this servant, do this, and he doesn't. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. And the men he'd sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the love that you have and put in our hearts for our country. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, as we sang earlier, that you would heal our land, you'd revive our land, you touch our land, you touch people's lives more importantly through all of this. And so, Lord, help us listen today as we are a people in recovery. And help us to be strong and heal as well and be restored to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A nation in recovery, a road to recovery. You're probably going to hear that word a lot of times on the news, media, whatever. We're in recovery, we're in recovery, we're in recovery. And so I want to kind of give you the definition of what the word recovery even means. And so it's a return to a normal state. You probably heard that on the news as well. A new normal, we've heard when this whole thing broke out, right? Expect a new normal. It's like, I was like, what does that mean? But it's simply a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength, or the action or process of regaining something either stolen or lost. Several years ago, I was driving to the hospital to see my mother-in-law before surgery to pray with her. And the 5 minutes that I had parked and went in, I came back out a half hour later and found my vehicle stolen. And I was in panic. Never had that happen before in my entire life. Here I am trying to do something good and poof, gone. But they found it a couple days later. It was stolen and they tried to steal it and all this kind of stuff, but it was protected even though they messed up the gearbox and everything else. And so it was like I was in the process of regaining something that was stolen. My freshman year in high school was in an accident. Injured my shoulders during basketball season, middle of basketball season. And so for a freshman in high school, in the middle of basketball season, and you're 6 weeks in recovery, you're like, oh, kind of a bummer, right? And so couldn't help it, but that was the party that I had to wear a sling, and everybody felt sorry for me. It was kind of cool. I got more ladies that way, I guess, but got more attention. Anything we can do to help you? It's like, yeah, you can, you know, and all that. So he took advantage of that, right? And so, but I was in recovery. It was just 6 weeks. I had to sit out of practice and couldn't play games, just watching. It was like, oh, man. So it was just tough. And so it's kind of hard to watch our nation go through some of this. You know, when is the last time you've seen Wendy's give a $450 sign-on bonus for workers? That's never happened, right? That's historical right there. But we're living in some interesting times, and I want to understand our times on our next slide here. It's interesting, three times in the Bible, Old Testament, two in the New Testament, the First Chronicles 12 talks about these men of Issachar, one of the tribes of Israel. It says they were men who understood their times and knew what Israel ought to do. So they were trying to process through information that was given to them and trying to understand the times they were living in so they know how to respond. So a lot of people are trying to do that. They're trying to discern what's going on, what's happened, what we know, what may be anticipated next. You've probably been thinking about that as well. Jesus even said in Luke 12, he says, you're able to interpret the skies. Hey, it's going to rain tomorrow. It's going to be coming this way. It's going to be hot, whatever it might be. But are you able to interpret the times you're living in? Now, here's the amazing thing. Jesus came to the earth, to his own people. He gave them clues about his coming. And it says they didn't interpret the times. They missed his coming. But that was all part of the plan that God had. But that Jesus says, you didn't understand your times. If you would, you wouldn't be nailing me to the cross. Right? The Lord of glory, he came from heaven to here, and we did that to him. All because we didn't understand the times or the clues he'd sent to us. Even Paul in Romans 13, Paul says this phrase, understanding our present time, do this. And we're going to share with the next part of that verse later on. But Paul uses these words, understanding our present times, we should do this. This is how we should respond. So these next two slides, I'm just going to kind of give you what we know as of right now, what's happened, what's transpired, and so how do we process things that are going on? Obviously, interest rates are at an all-time low. If you want to refinance your house, now is the time to do it. 1.75%. I remember building our house back in 2001 at 7, 8%. My dad says, hey, I remember when they were 10, 15% loans. Some of you may remember those days as well. 1.5%. But yet, at the same time, inflation is very high. So you lower your house payment, but your grocery bill is more than your house payment. It's like, how does that work? Think if you spend $20 a day, times 30, that's $600. Maybe it's $30 a day for your family. That's $900 a day just to eat and survive. Inflation. The tech companies that make the chips for the computers and your cars and cell phones, guess what? They're 6 to 8 months behind. That's why there's not a whole lot of production for new vehicles that you're seeing out there. There's loads of places just holding cars, waiting for these chips to come. Manufacturing is behind because of these things. Some of the jobs are slow in the automotive industry. Some are fast. It all depends. There's like this huge slam coming in that industry. They're calling for 6 to 8 months inflation to fall back to normal. Hey, this, I know it's high right now. It's going to fall back. It's going to slowly fall back. Possibly. That's just what they're estimating. Unemployment's still very high. The workforce is very fatigued. People are begging for workers to come back or even get to work, like I mentioned, offering just crazy sign-on stuff, everything else. Nurses, doctors, all very fatigued through all of this. Police force, very fatigued through all of this. Yet jobs are wide open. So if you're looking for a job, now's the time to be looking. Housing market is very, very hot, right? So if you're time to sell something, hey, but you got to find something, right? You got to find something. It's hard to do. As soon as it hits the market, sometimes it's gone the very next day. So it's a good time to sell, not a good time to buy. Government spending and debt at an all-time high. It's like, how in the world are we going to recover from all the stimulus, the billions that we're spending? How many years is that going to take just to catch up? Some people think that we're driving it to a bankruptcy so that we can have a reset of economic finances. We'll see, right? We don't know. But all we do know is we're in an all-time debt high. And how long is it going to take to recover? RV sales are at an all-time high. People are wanting to be more mobile. Ammunition, you can't even find ammunition. It's like, what's going on? The issues of our day. Gender identity. Indiana just... And Bloomington ordained their first transgender pastor. This is happening in our day. Identity crisis. We have an identity crisis is what's going on. There's 30 different genders you can call yourself. So we're going to have to live in this whole realm of how should I address you as a person? Legalizing marijuana in states, 11 states already have legalized recreational. And so the big topic for sometimes for even pastors' churches are, can Christians recreationally be okay and still be a Christian and smoke weed? Roe versus Wade is back on the table in the Supreme Court this year. They're going to be addressing this once again, almost 50 years later to the date of hitting this issue. Some states have a heartbeat bill, which you've probably heard, or a three-week period. Some states are taking a very hard stance on it. Some states are, it's last day, and you can have an abortion. So this whole topic is very, very controversial, and if there's ever a time for us to pray for this topic again, it's now. Its time is now. It's crucial for our nation. You've probably seen solar power, electric vehicles. Ford is revamping their whole industry for electric vehicles and trucks and stuff for 2035. They're already gauging it out that far. AI, robotics, coming big time. They're even thinking Amazon is going to use drones to deliver packages to your houses. And maybe watch other stuff. The RNA is another big item on the table. This is where most of the Pfizer and Moderna got some of their information to make a quick emergency vaccination. So they used RNA to develop those. 5G for cell phones is coming out, but also 10G for the internet. They're trying to hyperspeed online through Ethernet in different ways to upgrade your internet and speed. Yet psychologists are calling for a need for mental health recovery through all of this. They're seeing an increase in people's anxiety, depression, all of these things. Loneliness, isolation could be part of that process. And so now they're just asking for help in mental health recovery. What's interesting as well is there is a dispersing of Americans relocating all over America. California, for the first time, has posted in their census a decrease in population. People are moving out by the thousands. New York has lost 30% through this whole thing. People are moving, and that's why the housing market is probably exploding, because people are moving all over this world. We picked up a family that moved from California this past year during the pandemic. Israel, just two or three weeks ago, has developed a new leadership. This is crucial as well. Always keep your eye on Israel. Always do that. He's like, well, why? Well, it's part of the Bible. It's part of end time prophecy as well. And so this new leadership has a two-year succession program. So Benjamin Netanyahu is no longer the prime minister. Before this election two weeks ago, they were voting. They voted five times to try to have a new prime minister and new leadership, and they were just stonewalled. And yet they're now under attack, and they're doing this new leadership all under attack through Hamas and their neighbors and everything else. Iran has already told them many times, we want to wipe you off the face of the earth. So now is the time for America not to lose its relationship with Israel. And not to band with Iran and Iraq. But also this new leadership is open to new peace treaties. If you know anything about prophecy, that's huge. And so we could be living in the time where we see that peace treaty developed and the Antichrist revealed. All in all, to say we may have a short window of time. A short window of time. Let's go to what we don't know. How long will it take to recover from all this? That's the key question, right? Dr. Fauci, I almost brought a flip-flop up here just to... Did I say that? I'm sorry. But this is what he came out a couple weeks ago and said these words. We should be back to normal around Christmas time. Well, how long is it going to take for us to recover personally? Maybe some of you have been impacted, maybe in different ways. Other people have done well through all of this. Some people have been hit very, very hard. Churches are still in recovery from all of this. And so we're great. People are coming back and feel more comfortable coming back. National recovery, that's going to be the key question. Vaccine side effects, they're studying that now. Hey, we're going to study the side effects of all of these things that's coming out. And so who knows if there's going to be more strands. There's going to be more strands. They've already come up with the Delta strand. So we're going to be living in this post-COVID. It's going to be a COVID-19, 20, 21 kind of world. They're already anticipating these conversations. Why? Because just like the flu, it changes. You get new shots to deal with the last strain that you deal with. So very people's feels are, is this a biological warfare? Was this a pandemic or was it a plandemic? So that's to your debate. I'm not going to say one way or the other. Time will tell. History will tell, right? When you go through stuff, it's hard to discern. When you look back on stuff, it's like, now we know a little bit more. Things have been revealed. But what's next after all of this? Think about this. 100 years ago, the world was at war. World War I, right? And so right after World War I, the Spanish flu, H1N1, impacted the world. Killed probably more than World War I itself. The war had just ended. People were going back to their homes all across the world. And guess what they took with them? It was this virus, the H1N1. It impacted America. It impacted every place in the world. Roaring 20s happened right after that event. Think about this. World War I, the Spanish flu, and then the Roaring Twenties hit America. Some folks are anticipating, hey, there's going to be great opportunities and growth and anticipation of all the stuff, the technology that's coming, it's going to explode. Roaring Twenties are going to happen again. If you study history, 9 years after the Roaring Twenties, what happened? The Great Depression hit everything, collapsed, right? Then World War II brought us back out of the Great Depression as a nation. So very interesting times that we live in. And so it's like, what should we really focus on as a people, as individuals, as churches, understanding our times, what should we focus on to live? Let's go to the next one. So when times are uncertain, trust what is certain, right? You trust what is true. Now if you study Daniel chapter 8, when the Antichrist comes, it says deceit will prosper. Deceit will prosper. And so we're going to live in a time where it's going to be hard to discern what is true and what's not true. We're like, well, how do I know what's true? Well, you should be holding it in your hands. Right? This never changes. Because our God never changes. He is truth. He gives us truth. I thought about this thought this week. How can an all-knowing God reveal that he is all-knowing to a people? This book. Because if it comes true in history, and it has every single time, then his all-knowing capability is revealed to us to know that he's all-knowing. So what should we focus on? Number one, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That should be your focus. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, amen. Thank the Lord for that. Right? But here's the key thing you need to focus on. People in your family, your friends, your neighbors who don't know Jesus yet. It's like their greatest need is relationship with Jesus Christ as well, right? Matthew 6, Jesus says, hey, just trust me one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. A lot of people are worried about tomorrow. Can we anticipate some things? Yes, God's given us some little anticipation to prepare for things. Ants do that, right? Ants store up, and they prepare, right? And so even in Proverbs 6, Solomon says, go study ants. That's what he said. You can learn from them. But trust God one day at a time. If there's stuff to harvest, go harvest it. Store it up, use it wisely, right? Thirdly, pray for our community, our churches, our nation, leaders, and pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. Joshua chapter 1, you probably remember this story where Joshua was like, hey, the Lord is telling us to go across the Jordan. We've never been this direction yet. We've never been this way before. Some of the people were wanting to stay on this side of the Jordan, the strong men wanting to fight. And say, hey, he's like, man, you got to go with us and then you can come back. And so he was very nervous about going this direction. And God reminded him, don't be afraid, be strong and courageous. Why? Because I'm with you. It's like the greatest thing we have is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen? It's the greatest thing. He says, don't fear, he is with us. Then Paul says in Romans 13, at the end of that verse, understanding our present times, do this. He says, wake up, be spiritually alert. Behave decently. Oh, behave! Put on the armor of light and clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. Now think about this. If you study Daniel, the revival of the Roman Empire that was coming in Daniel's day, in Jesus' day. So Paul understood all that coming. And so Paul was thinking, hey, the Roman Empire is in our day. Persecution is heavy. People are turning to either Jesus or the Roman Emperor. They got to say, either one is Lord. Almost sounds like Revelation. You got to declare who you belong to. Right? Who are you going to bow the knee to? So Paul is simply probably understanding prophecy up to this point and saying, it's close. It's very close. We got to wake up, be spiritually alert. But what's happened because of World War II, guess what happened? The nation of Israel was rebirthed in a single day, just like Ezekiel talked about. So in 1948, the nation of Israel became a nation. But it had to happen after World War II. Suffering before victory. Millions of Jews lost their life during the Holocaust, during World War II. But now millions are moving back home, getting ready, preparing for things. The temple is already ready to go. They just need a building. Russia's already in line, Iraq and Iran's. It's all set. It's overwhelming. It's like, well, Daniel even talks about the revival of the Roman Empire coming to play. That's already taken place as well. The next event is simply the peace treaty and the revealing of the Antichrist. That's where we're at in time and understanding our times. How should we live? And Paul is simply saying, telling us, put on the armor of light. Right? Take your spiritual stance, who you are in Christ. And trust His word beyond measure. As we wait for the return of Christ, I think this is our key thing, to make sure we're in love with Christ and return, pray for our nation to return to Him. When George Washington helped found this nation in 1789, April the 30th, 1789, he went to St. Paul's Chapel there in New York. They took Congress and they knelt down and prayed and dedicated this country to God. John Winthrop, who was before that, one of the first, the second wave of the colony coming over from Massachusetts, prayed and read scripture over our nation. Then George Washington, 100 years later. But this is his words. He gave this warning in his inaugural address in 1789, George Washington. He says, "We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and the right which heaven itself has ordained." He also warns, if we would begin to depart from God, He would remove His blessings, His prosperity, His protection from our nation. Here's what's interesting. Under Abraham Lincoln, April the 30th, declared during the Civil War, declared a national day of humiliation and fasting and praying during the height of the Civil War. I just want to read his statements. He goes, "Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God, in all the affairs of men and nations, has by a resolution requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions, to humble themselves in sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truths announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are only blessed whose God is the Lord." You ever hear terminology like that lately? You know, this year was the first year in the National Day of Prayer that God wasn't mentioned. 70 years. He also says, "Inasmuch as we know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war which they were going through, which now desolates the land, may be put a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom or virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. George Washington, April the 30th. Abraham Lincoln, April the 30th. Said those words. Now, right after he prayed that prayer in D.C., the very next day, the Northern started to conquer the South. And July 4th, Gettysburg and Vicksburg were victories in the war against slavery. Some historians are saying, because of his prayer and repentance for the sin of our nation during that time frame, led by our president, God started to heal our land and to recover. In 1981, when Ronald Reagan became president and he swore in his inauguration on his right hand, he put his left hand on the Bible. And guess what passage he put his left hand on the Bible at? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will humble themselves and pray. 7, right after his inauguration, the 7 fat years of America's economy. All because we have a leader who says we need to humble ourselves before God. Wow. Interesting times. The verse before 2 Chronicles 7:14, I want to show you the verse before 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. God's sending some warning signs, right? He's sending some warning sign, a pestilence. Do you know in East Africa in 2020 was the largest locust, severe locust that ever happened? Didn't hear that report, did you? Volcanoes, earthquakes, droughts, forest fires. Australia was called the Black Summer. All this was happening in 2020 all across the world. Volcanoes in Guatemala were erupting. Different places of the world. I think God's not calling for just a national repentance. I think he's calling for a worldwide one. Amen. He's starting to wake up the world. He's like, are you listening to what I'm doing? We have just a short window of repentance. Now, here's the hard thing to process. Can God send revival in the midst or in the times of all of this? Only upon a people who are ready to receive it. But the end will come. We can't change the end, but we can change the blessing flow. What's also interesting, when God established communion in Passover, it wasn't during times of peace. In Egypt, the plagues were going on. And God says, you know what? I'm going to establish Passover in the midst of the judgments upon Israel. You ever find that interesting? When darkness was winning, it seemed like God says, you know what? I'm going to establish Passover to escape the judgment that's coming. Jesus, when he established communion, he tells the disciples, he says, when darkness reigns, like it is right now. I mean, Satan was indwelling Judas right next to him. And Jesus established communion in that room. In times of great distress, God established this communion table. I find that very interesting. It's almost to remind us that, hey, no matter what the circumstances are around you, be holy. Amen. Be a people who feast on the Lord. Yes. And trust in Him. And welcome Him. So judgment will pass over. Yes. Because if you have the lamb inside your house and you eat the lamb, judgment is going to pass over. Amen. Right? Yes. And if we have Jesus in our hearts, eternal judgment is going to pass over our life. We're going to celebrate communion in just a second. You know, as Abraham Lincoln prayed and the Civil War had turned a tide, as Ronald Reagan had prayed and our nation recovered, and with what's going on in the Supreme Court with Roe versus Wade, what if we started to pray and saw this overturned? You know, when they established abortion, they rejoiced and threw a party. Could you imagine what I'm going to do if it's overturned? Roe versus Wade is 1973. I was born in 1975. It's a big decade, right? Things turned. But guess what? God can take our prayers and turn things around. But we have to set our face and focus. God, please. Just like that servant in Luke chapter 7. Lord, we need you now. We need you come now and heal. Not because we deserve it, because you have all authority to do it. You just have to say the word. You are king. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the lessons we find in Scripture and for our nation's history. Lord, thank you for sending men and women all across this country to set our churches back, to set our nations back to you. Lord, we pray for our world that would turn to you. Lord, that you'd raise up missionaries all over the world to preach Jesus. Lord, we know how the story ends. And Lord, it's a time of victory. It's a time of celebration for us. But a great time of sorrow for the rest of the world. Lord, help us have that urgency. Put that fire back in our souls again to make a difference. And let it start in our prayer life. Let it start in seeking you and turning to you and turning away from things we shouldn't be doing so you can heal us and our church and our land and our community, and let it flow out of that. And so, Lord, as we look to communion today, Lord, help us just take an inventory of our hearts, our minds, our words, our actions. Lord, if we need to get things right with you, get things right with others, Lord, let it be so today before we partake. Lord, we love you and we're so thankful that we can be together as a family on this day to celebrate not our nation's independence, but our nation's dependence on you. Because we need you like never before. We need you in our life. We need you back. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.